Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 2. Darkness must have an ally in the light, said Semyaza in his dark and smooth voice. It was one of many voices with which he could grab a mortal mind and wring it like a cloth. His size was intimidating at first, but when men see battle, they change inside. Military leaders all start out the same. They are all rebellious at first. They enlist for different reasons, like to get an education, to learn a skill, to make money, and see the world. Some just want to leave home to discover new things. They enter basic training and are shoved, inoculated, dressed up and down, and eventually broken. They were taught that everything they thought was real, including how to fold underwear or keep their socks together while they're being washed, or how to walk, was wrong. And then they are rebuilt the military way. It had been this way for thousands of years, perhaps billions of years, across many worlds. Some reject the training, and they drop out in various ways. Most hang on for an honorable discharge, but some are just not compatible with military life, and they take advantage of other programs to achieve the same thing. Any life is better than military life. Some, however, gravitate to it. They want to be ordered. They crave to be regimented. They know that if they just don't give up, that someday it will be their turn to give all the orders. That day never comes. That is the great deception of military life. There is always someone at the top, ordering them to do something that they hate doing. In fact, that is the point. The more hatred one can conceal, the more valuable one becomes to the military and to the princes that command it. Wes Morley, one of the most highly decorated tacticians in the U.S. military, was born with a talent that belied his age. Slight of build, he was statistically correct in his assessments, but he had been physically abused on many levels. His mother whipped him mercilessly for pointing out trends, patterns, and making judgments about people and about her. His father was an engineer, but married to his ideas and his projects. They rarely, if ever, talked to one another. He often was assaulted by other boys who were enraged if Wes said they lived in a slum, if he noticed that everyone from a certain neighborhood got a C on an exam and everyone from his neighborhood got an A. He was correct in his assessment of the facts, but his inability to contain that observation got him slapped by teachers, punched by bullies, and banned from the school bus. Long before the military tried to form him into a ruthless and calculating strategist, Wes was standing there, waiting for them. His gray eyes were steady, and his straight mouth would never reveal his cards. Semyaza found him fascinating for a human, and noticed that each time he plied his skills to manipulate his emotions, there was a new foot position to consider. Like a computer martial artist, Wes remembered each thrust and measured the weight of his opponent. He knew that a slight touch in the direction of misbalance could change everything. "Doesn't the darkness dim the light?" asked Wes. "Yes, indeed it does. But light believes the shadow cannot exist in the light," parried Semyaza. "But master, the shadow is created by the light, is it not?" "The shadow is produced by hiding the eyes. It is an allergic reaction. A surfer will close one eye to block the glare off the water because the light is painful to bear. He will move away from it. This action produces the shadow," added Semyaza pedantically. "But if the lights are turned up slowly, the eyes can adjust. The darkness will not perceive the light until there is no darkness left," remarked Wes as he applied the ancient writings. "Do not mistake shadows for darkness," the pitch of Semyaza's voice elevated very slightly. It was clearer, without the deep resonating rattle of his long vocal cords. It did not go unnoticed. "The shadows are our allies, correct? Now the coulée was applied as the two sounded one another on the polished dark granite floor of one of the world's most feared locations deep in the structure of NORAD. Semyaza allowed the forte. It was difficult for a being more than 30,000 years old to be surprised by much of anything, let alone when Wes pressed the battle. Still, the coming thrust from Wes might be interesting. Tempting one's enemy with wealth or power, as they suppose, will almost immediately cause a person to practice unrighteous dominion, he said. This action, of their own free will and choice, turns them into an ally. They may still stand in the light, and thousands will gladly listen to tinkling sounds, but they are shadows in the light. No one really measures the brightness of light anyway. Only its presence or its absence. So the shadows are the wounded, said Wes, bringing everything back into battle terms. Self-inflicted, flicked Semyaza. The world is full of wounded souls, thrust Wes. It is of their own making, deflected Semyaza. They may seek solace in prayer or meditation, yes? They seek mostly counterfeits, said Semyaza flatly. Placebos? Asked Wes. Oh no, my boy. Pleasure is no placebo, his voice smoothing as though to coat the throat before swallowing something bitter. I don't know what that is, I'm afraid, admitted Wes. Quite all right, General Morlaix. You don't need it, do you? It wasn't really spoken as a question. Those maternal beatings were the deepest pit for Wes. Anything above that was the closest thing to pleasure he would ever have. I like chocolate and pizza and an occasional beer, spat Wes. Well, when a mortal feels pain, and I'm not saying you are a mere mortal, they usually look for something to make it go away. Various ointments of sex or heroin or both have been applied since the beginning of mortality. Once they accept our offer, and after copious applications of pain relief, they belong to me, said Semyaza with only the slightest drama to his voice. An occasional bar of chocolate is all that is needed for you. I question whether I belong to you or not, defended Wes. That's fine with me. You want my help because I can do things you cannot do. Wes was bold now. Sensing he was being drawn out to defend his superiority. What you say is truer than you know, feinted Semyaza. I'm serious. You cannot walk down the halls of the Pentagon or stand in front of Congress. You cannot feel what is going on because you are not there like I am. What we are doing here is what we are doing, interrupted Semyaza, is battling for the soul of mankind. For 100 mortal lifetimes, we have been carefully placing stone after stone in a sure path that every person must follow to be captured by Lucifer. They will not be forced, said Wes. No, they will not. They choose it. From a beautiful and fragrant menu, said Semyaza as he moved around between Wes and the wall of display screens high above the floor of the NORAD command center. You give them no choice, said Wes, trying to defend his race now. We are required by the rules of engagement to give them a choice. We even give them a preview of what their choices will produce. I have shown the world new technology to help the world evolve into a new neuro network. We can show them in graphic detail, along with first shooter position if they so desire, exactly what their actions will yield for them. Even after showing them everything, they will embrace it, as though it was their idea all along. Even if they repent, they soon turn to their own vomit. Of course we give them a choice, Semyaza said coldly as he turned his back on Wes to look at the wall of color surveillance screens. You may have been around humans for too long, my master. Not letting the sarcasm show in his voice, we humans have the ability to evolve. evolve? Is that your tact? Their evolution from the horse to the spacecraft is because of me, boomed Semyaza in NORAD's cavern of central command. Indeed, Master, but there is an ongoing conversation inside the human mind, especially when calculating the ramifications of their action or inaction. The flanks and charges on the battlefield are academic. History is easy enough for the casual observer, but the evidence shows eddy currents of energy within the masses. They fold back on themselves with reflection and self-correction, especially for those with a strong sense of conscience. What you may be missing is that it is the silent knife of the thief that kills the tyrant. In the ancient writings, it was clear that the Lord would come as a thief in the night. Wes calculated that Semyaza overlooked the difference between a robber and a thief. A robber comes from without the window. The thief is already in the private chamber. He is a friend, a trusted colleague, who has had a change of heart, or who has realized the future and the results if he does nothing. He is in the past, which is the present time, compared to the visions of the future, with the tyrant fully empowered by his political machinations. And after all, politics was nothing more than the work procedures of religion. It was religion that was the true genocide on mankind. It is the assassin that has evolved, my good general, said Semyaza after a pause, as though he was soaking in the mass of satellite information displayed on the large screens high on the walls in front of them. Perhaps, Master, it is an act of sacrifice through which man seeks redemption. 30 pieces of silver is not redemption. No, but the concept of stopping Hitler before he ever came to power would be seen as redemption, even if it meant being hanged for it. I don't hang humans. I ask them to hang themselves, said Semyaza with ice on his voice. Still, the deed is done, and chaos is a breeding ground for misdirection. Chaos is barely three-dimensional, General. It is from this darkness that all light is born in the universe. It is the subconscious of the universe, and 20 times more massive than all the stars and planets combined, spanned Semyaza as he opened his massive white furry arms to their fullest. It is we who watch over the chaos. It is we who rejoice as divine creations splash themselves on the rocks of time and scatter their souls back into the darkness. It is the Creator who weeps for them in despair, unable to stop it. He turned now, facing General Morlaix, and took a large step toward him. Looking down, he paused and smiled softly as though he was coaching a little league player. And if we lose a tyrant to a small blade in the night, the greed of his lieutenants will replace his lust just as well. It makes no difference. I believe you have miscalculated, my master. It does make a difference. Darken me with your reasoning. Earth is special. If it were not so, the greatest spirits in the universe would not have come here for their mortal experiences. You are here. There have been many wars over the centuries and countless dead spent on both sides. Each time, it was the victors that filled the pages of history from which we are schooled. But it is clear to me that the final battles are nigh. And the greatest heroes on both sides have been saved and prepared for these times. Like the bricks of Babel's tower, when one falls now and is broken, there is much to lament. General Wes Morlaix was right. As though his tiny pawn had been quietly moved nearly to his opponent's baseline, who had already sacrificed his queen, checkmate was going to be devastating. Perhaps I have taken them for granted, you say. What is collateral damage when there are billions from which to draft? But are these billions special compared to the billions we have slaughtered like grass beneath the hoof? Why should this concern me? Semyaza was proud of the millennia of mayhem he had coached from the tents of kings. Because you have won nothing. Each of those souls beheaded by armies driven by religious rage and justified by gods that do not exist will be redeemed. Those souls are not your spoils. Yes, the bloodlust of the leaders you trained and armed on both sides will sweep your chambers forever now, but the vast majority will rest in peace as their blood cries from the mud and ashes of war. And so, General, what are your plans? Asked Semyaza, now ecstatic with the realization that he was about to see just how dark this man's soul had become. I believe there is a way to capture them all, or most of them anyway. Their deaths will bring no respite, and the hopes of redemption will fly far from them as they charge across the world with their tribal flags. Just you wait and see, said General Morlaix.